the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights perspective on how the holidays are going for the airlines. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. President Bush recently announced some measures intended to streamline holiday travel and reduce delays, especially in the Northeast Corridor. And Kate has some, well, let's say very direct observations on that. Kate, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Paul. Good to be here.
First of all, let me ask you how this relates to the coalition, because President Bush seemed to be focused on all the political static that's been generated the last year or so by the delays at JFK and LaGuardia, not so much by a passenger's stranding issue.
Correct.
But your organization seems to be somewhat morphing into a more general advocacy group for airline passengers. Would that be fair to say?
That would be fair to say, yes. We're actually taking on more issues and looking at the possibility of taking on even more transportation issues and travel issues.
Now, when Mary Peters was kind of given the mandate by President Bush to, look, call these airline people together and get this fixed by summer 2008, that happened to come at an interesting time in the development of your organization, because that was right about the time you guys were getting a more frequent seat at the table.
Absolutely. The threat came down at the beginning of September, right when Congress came back, and many congressmen and senators had been trapped on tarmacs over the summer, over their congressional recess. And also, they were receiving mass calls from their constituents saying, something's got to give, this summer was horrible. When are you going to do something for us? And the House of Representatives was compelled to add a deplanement strategy that actually means something. And when that happened, we heard a rumor down through many high-level people that work directly with the airlines that they were going to fight us tooth and nail. And that's actually the first time we had heard this last year that the airlines were really fighting anything that we were up to. And that was a good sign, because it meant that we were actually finally doing something that mattered. And so they came up with devised a plan for the holidays, and that plan had to have been devised in September in order for it to be enacted in December, that they were working with, clearly working with the president and the DOT on, to prevent the Thanksgiving holiday travel from becoming a disaster.
Well, now, the measures that President Bush announced seemed like a reasonable thing to do for a bulge in traffic such as occurs during a holiday, but there didn't seem to be a whole lot there long term.
No, nothing long term, and yes, it did seem reasonable, and I believe it made a difference. I believe that wasn't just what the president did. I was in John F. Kennedy Airport the day before Thanksgiving, and it was like a ghost town. They were moving people out of the airport so fast and onto the planes, I couldn't believe it. And there were so many more Delta employees, which happened to be the terminal I was going out of, than I've ever seen in my years of air travel. Clearly, the airlines had beefed up, the FAA beefed up, the DOT beefed up. The president said, you know, he was widening the airspace, which I believe made some difference. And we did not see the problems that that we've seen in years gone by. Now, if he'd made that a permanent edict, we would have felt a lot better about it. But he didn't. He made it a five-day plan.
Well, he says it'll come back over the Christmas season if it worked out well for Thanksgiving. But I guess the question I'd ask, given the description you just gave, was that if a big component of this was voluntary airline measures, will that come back as well over Christmas? Do you think there's widespread market forces and political pressure on the airlines that they're responding to?
Yes, I do. I don't know if they're market forces as much as they are political forces. And I believe the airlines have a history of this. They all of a sudden realize that legislation is coming around the corner. And so they do something for a short period of time that leads people to believe that they are addressing the behavior, and to create the appearance that they are taking care of the problem, and then they gradually back away from that as their profits go up. And nothing's changed. All that's happening is that they've incorporated a holiday program. And they said they were going to. They said they were going to beef up their employees all the way through the holidays. So they've brought on a lot. They've brought back a lot of furloughed employees to work. All of the airlines have, and all of the legacy carriers. And there are hundreds more people in the airport than you're used to seeing working there. And the lines are very, very short.
Well, to differentiate between political forces and market forces here, I guess a political force means you fear a change in the law or regulation that's going to be a long-term impact on you. And on the market forces side, do the airlines not get tired of seeing endless features during holidays on TV newscasts about really annoyed people waiting in long lines or sleeping under chairs in airports?
Well, since you frame it that way, yes. There are market forces. I'm very certain they were afraid that that was going to happen. And I'm also very certain that I did spend time on our hotline over the holiday with people who were displaced, and especially yesterday. Yesterday was a disaster day for several people in Atlanta, people returning from their honeymoon, several people that got stuck with nightmare situations, one gentleman that got stuck on the tarmac. So yesterday appeared to be much different than the day before Thanksgiving. Yesterday appeared to be a bad travel day for people. So we'll have to see just how it goes over the holidays. And you know, indeed, the weather played a big role in this as well. There has been no weather to speak of. It's been extremely mild. I was in New York. There was really not much going on that would interfere with air travel at all. So they really, as far as I'm concerned, a variety of forces were at play in making it a very smooth Thanksgiving.
My guest today is Kate Hanai, who is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Kate Hanai, who left her career as a real estate broker, maybe unknowingly, to take on this calling of being the executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. The stranding that inspired this happened to Kate back in December. And less than 6 months later, there was already legislation moving on the floor in the Senate, which we think is a major accomplishment. We'd like to catch up with Kate every few weeks and find out how this is going. Kate, now, something has changed regarding your toll-free hotline that passengers can call if they're stranded, and that is that it's being staffed in real time now. And I suspect that at this point, that means a lot of your real time.
Yes, a lot of my real time. Thank you for distinguishing that. Yes, and we have a number of other, let me just say about our hotline answerers, because we're manning it live. We have a priest who's answering the hotline. We have a doctor. We have a veterinarian. We have myself, who's a stockbroker and a real estate broker. We have an insurance underwriter. We have a former customer service supervisor from U.S. Airways. We have a stay-at-home mom. We have just the most eclectic group of people you could ever imagine that are committed to having people's holidays work. I spent a good portion of yesterday and late last night and all day yesterday and late last night on the phone with hotline callers. One of my callers was a mother of a gal that called and said, my daughter is stuck in Atlanta in the airport. She left Jacksonville to come home to Little Rock. And with a one-way ticket, and it was an expensive ticket, a short purchase, mm-hmm. something that they purchased short term, and she's stuck in Atlanta, and they're not getting her on another flight, and they're not giving her a hotel room, and she's going to have to spend the night at the airport. So I called her, and one of the things we've committed to on the hotline is that we will help rebook people's hotel or get people a hotel or help them find another flight, help them find rental cars. And so the story is with this gal, she had taken off from Jacksonville on time. And we knew from watching the weather reports all day that that they had fog in Atlanta the whole day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure why they didn't warn people that there might have been some delays in Atlanta. That's something communication-wise that the airlines could really improve on. And then she gets to the airport, and her flight left, but they told her that it hadn't left yet and that she should run and that they were holding the flight for her, and they didn't.
Mm.
So anyway, another guy that called was stuck on the tarmac in Florida, and he was headed home to Orange County to his job, and he was freaked out because he'd been in the plane at the gate for 3.5 hours.
Ooh.
And he said, I'm being tarmacked, and they're not giving us any information. We don't know why we're still sitting here. I've now missed my connecting flight in Denver. I'm sure of it. What do I do? And I said, get out your camera and start videotaping. In fact, everyone should be videotaping. I don't know if you could hear that ring.
Yes.
That's our hotline ringing in the background. So I can see it on my computer, and I can tell if someone else answers the phone.
Oh.
So right now it looks like one of our other members actually got the phone. So that's good. Then I won't have to answer it. So what happened with him is that he started videotaping, and then when he went into he started texting me because he was afraid that if he were on the phone once the plane left the gate that they might get upset with him. So he started texting me and said, saying, we're still on the ground, we're still on the ground. And then finally they took off, and I tracked his flight all the way to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he got off the plane, he called me, and I said, you're not going to get another flight until flight 63, which is at 7:50 p.m. going to Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay, then they're telling me the truth. He said, but they should have booked me on an earlier flight. And I said, yes, they should, but this is the only flight that has a seat. So don't, so get on that flight, you know, be sure and get a seat on that flight.
Right.
And he had to wait 4 hours for that, unfortunately. But he did get home last night, and he did get some video footage. So we'll be seeing that on the news shortly. And then this other guy that I spoke to had a disaster. And it started last week at JFK. And so one of our other hotline answerers, who's the veterinarian, answered the phone yesterday, and he said, evidently, Kate was helping you, and he emails me the spreadsheet, and it's a very thorough spreadsheet of his conversation yesterday. So I end up calling this guy in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And so upon his departure with his new bride, they get to JFK, and they overhear that their flight is canceled because there weren't enough people on the flight, which is illegal. And so I'm on the phone with him, and this is the day before my press conference. And I'm on the phone with him, and I said, that's illegal. They can't cancel your flight for economic reasons. And so I got Fox News down there to talk to him, and I got all of these news networks, Dateline and CBS, and they went down and spoke to him in the airport. And finally, American Airlines got him another flight going out that was a connecting flight, not a direct flight.
Mm-hmm.
So then segue to, 6 days later, and he's coming home. And he arrives in San Juan and still not on a direct flight home, which he should have been because that's what his parents paid for, his honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
And he arrives in San Juan for the connecting flight, and there's no plane.
Oh.
And so he calls our hotline again, and we find out that there is a plane on its way, but it's going to be 7 hours late. And he and his brand new bride are just like, our whole honeymoon was ruined, and we arrived a day late, and it just really made things miserable for us. And so they finally, their plane arrived, and we kept telling them, take digital photos, take video. And that's what they did. And they got the pilot, when they finally did board an aircraft to come home last night, the pilot came on the plane and said, I really want to apologize for my airline. They were supposed to do maintenance on this aircraft 10 days ago, and they didn't do it, and we didn't have all the safety precautions in order, and all of you should be filing a complaint with American Airlines.
Wow.
And he got all that. So that's what we've been up to.
Wow.
That was just yesterday.
Well, you know, it sounds as if airline employees, pilots and flight attendants and so forth are being embarrassed. How embarrassed would you have to be for your airline to do something like that obviously risks your job?
Yeah, well, that's what happened the night of our event, too. And I'm very certain that our pilot didn't lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some of that is just to diffuse the anger of the passengers.
Right.
I'm very certain that they're developing a vernacular of humility and a way of saying things because it actually diffuses the passenger's response to these things. And I think that's a good thing, you know. But I also think that there are some really disgusted people. I did get an email today from an American Airlines flight attendant, and she did include her name, saying that she was quitting after 27 years with the airline because of management's greed, and that it's become absolutely sickening for her to go to work every day.
Well, Kate, if someone wants to get in touch with you, what is the Coalition's hotline number, toll-free hotline number?
It is 877-FLYERS-6, which is 359-3776. And we have another phone line that you might be interested in, which is for employees of commercial airlines to call and tell us anything they want to tell us anonymously.
Ooh.
And that brand new number is 877-887-2678. And the acronym for those last four numbers is COST.
Okay.
There's a cost to being an employee for an airline now.
There is.
There is.
To what is that referring to?
Well, there's a cost involved, and the employees are the ones absorbing all of the cost of management's decisions. So
okay.
That's what I meant.
All right. Well,
should have explained that, huh?
Are you looking for additional people to answer the phones, or is that pretty well covered now?
No, I almost never get the calls. Yesterday was mostly our hotline answerers got the calls first and referred these people to me because they weren't sure what to do. And so they had me talk to them. The call that I got directly was the one in Atlanta. The other two went to other hotline volunteers who then said you should talk to Kate. So I'm last on the list because I'm doing so much media,
mm-hmm.
and I'm doing so many other things that it's very difficult for me to answer the phone. But I was the sole operator of it until this program went into force. And if we're successful enough at this through the holidays, we may actually be doing this ongoingly and for a very small nominal fee per month. Like $1 a month or something like that, continue to do it for members at a little bit of an upgraded service.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually doing more than just booking their rooms. We're actually looking at the weather patterns and telling them if they can reasonably predict to get to their destination. We're coaching them on how to have their flight coded when they get to the airport and they want to get a refund or if they don't arrive where they're supposed to go so that they do get a refund. It turns out management at these local airports are actually bonused based on how they code the flights.
Wow.
So if they code it based on weather, they get a bonus. And our flight should have been coded a mechanical problem because it had a mechanical problem taking off, but
mm-hmm.
it wasn't. It was coded as a weather problem. And that's why we got no hotel vouchers.
Oh, okay.
And I've got insiders in Austin that have given me that information. And they felt so badly when they found out there were several flights that had mechanical problems that they could have given people vouchers, but they were told by management not to.
Kate, this just gets more interesting and slimy every time we talk to you.
Doesn't it?
Let's plan to talk again somewhere around the anniversary of the stranding of you in Texas that started this whole thing.
Yes.
All right. Go get them, Kate.
Let's do it. Thank you, Paul. You're awesome.
If you want more information, the website is www.flyersrights.org, and that's flyers spelled with a Y. Kate Hanai is the Coalition's founder and executive director. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.